Page 222. Wrong Liberation, Mitja Vimutti. Wrong liberation is the state of consciousness which one mistakes for real liberation. There are many kinds of wrong liberation. There are many wrong views about liberation among non-Buddhists. Wrong reflection, Mitja Jnana. It is a wrong reflection to have a misconception and misuse one's intelligence. Such kind of reflection is born of ignorance. The commentary defines it as devising means of doing evil and then gloating over one's evil deed. One has to plan, in the face of difficulties, to kill, steal, rob, or lie. Planning is also essential to success in doing evil. For killing a large number of living beings easily, it is necessary to plan the production of machines, to plan the production of weapons, and to plan the production of poisons. The mastermind behind such planning is generally recognized as intelligence, but in reality it is ignorance or misdirected knowledge. Moreover, after doing evil, we often justify ourselves or rationalize our actions. This too is misuse of intelligence, rooted in ignorance. Right reflection, samajnana. Opposed to wrong reflection is samajnana, which means reflection on the path, fruition or nirvana, which one has attained, or reflection on defilements that are extinct or that are still dormant. These reflections are termed paccavekana jnana. And the yogi at the sotapanna stage has four kinds of these reflections. At the sakadagami stage, he has five kinds. At the anagami stage, he has five kinds, while the arahats, who have no defilements, have four kinds of reflection. The yogis who contemplate all the nama rupa that arise from the six senses are on the way to developing right reflection. When the reflection becomes perfect, through constant contemplation, there arises the extraordinary insight called sankharupeka jnana, equanimity insight knowledge. At this stage, the yogi can watch the sense objects for 2 or 3 hours at a stretch. He is unaffected and neither pleased nor displeased in the face of pleasant or unpleasant objects and experiences. He is barely aware of and indifferent to all events. His perception sharpens and he realizes the arising and passing away of all nama rupa. He reflects on the dissolution and then on the extinction of all phenomena. This reflection on the extinction without arising and passing away is reflection on nibbana, paccavekana jnana. Some yogis reflect on the extinction of the illusion of ego entity and all doubts about the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. Some reflect on the need for further effort in view of the vestiges of defilements such as craving, anger or ignorance. According to the commentaries, such reflections on defilements occur only to some knowledgeable yogis. They occur on the attainment of the Sotapatti stage and its fruition. If the yogi at the Sotapatti stage strives for higher spiritual experience, and if he has the potential for it, he will attain it, and there will occur other reflections, as we have pointed out above. There are altogether 19 of such reflections, samanyana, or paccavekana jnana. According to the Buddha, the disciples should develop all these kinds of right reflections. Wrong liberation. Miccha vimutti. Wrong liberation is the state of consciousness, which one mistakes for real liberation. There are many kinds of wrong liberation. There are many wrong views about liberation among both Buddhists and non-Buddhists. Non-Buddhists believe that they are liberated when they succeed in their search for Atman, or when they differentiate Atman from khandhas or personality. In the lifetime of the Buddha, the Jains, who were the disciples of the prominent religious teacher Nigantanatha Buddha, held that they could achieve liberation through the practice of austerities that would help them to exhaust the old karma and make them immune to new karma. They lived in a state of nature because they believed that non-attachment to cloths was a sign of full liberation. These naked ascetics were honored as arahats by their followers. There are still such ascetics in India. Some seek liberation by worshipping fire. Some hope they will be liberated if they cleanse themselves of their sins by bathing in the Ganges River. Some hope to attain liberation in heaven by worshipping the Almighty God. Some people, like the rishis Alara, Rama, and Udaka, believe in liberation through nothingness, akincha nyayatana jhana, or neither perception nor non-perception, neva sanya jhana. Some people identify as liberation with jhana of the fine material sphere. For Bhaka Brahma, liberation is attainment of the Brahma world of his first jhana. Among Buddhists too, there is the view which equates liberation with the attainment of one of the jhana. The Buddha mentioned it at the beginning of this sutta. We have also referred to Mahanaga and Mahatissa terrors who harbored such a delusion. Then there are yogis who speak of their attainment of the path and its results when they have unusual experiences such as seeing the light, joy and ecstasy attendant on the emergence of Udayabhaya insight into fast arising and passing away. Some believe they have made much spiritual progress even when they have less significant but unusual experiences, such as feeling cool and fresh, feeling light, sudden tremor, collapsing, seeing extraordinary forms and visions, hearing strange sounds, seeing repulsive objects, feeling contact with space, feeling oneself on a big expanse of water, seeing some light, and so forth. Some become unconscious while sitting within 2 hours, or 2 or 3 days, after practicing mindfulness. When the body of such a yogi is lifted, his sitting posture remains intact, but when questioned, he cannot point out the distinction between corporeality and consciousness, or the nature of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So these unusual experiences are purely based on concentration. But for ignorant people, they may mean cessation of psychophysical phenomena, or absorption in the fruition of the path. What is important is the successive arising of the different kinds of insight knowledge that lead to the knowledge of the path and fruition and to liberation. Those who consider themselves liberated should at least have unwavering faith in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, as well as in their moral integrity. Have no faith in any practice that is devoid of the path, should be free from ego belief and doubt, and very strict in the observance of the five precepts. A man may claim spiritual progress or sotapannahood without being free even from the breaches of the five precepts, but his sense of liberation is purely miccha vimutti. Here, for the information of readers, we will mention the cause of wrong liberation cited in the commentary on Samāgama Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya. The Light Arahat. In response to the request of his disciples, a monk gave instructions for what he described as instant attainment of arahatship. Each yogi was to meditate on his original object in his room. If while he was thus meditating, there appeared a light, he would be on the first path. The second appearance of the light would indicate the attainment of the second path. The third and fourth lights, the third and fourth path, respectively. The yogi would then become an arahat. Because of such instructions, his disciples decided that he was an arahat. When he died later, they believed that he had attained nibbana, and so they honoured and cremated his remains pompously. The bones were enshrined in a stupa. At that time, some knowledgeable monks arrived as guests, and the hosts told them about the instruction of their teacher, his supposed parinibbana, and so forth. Then the visiting monk said, "Sirs, the light which your teacher saw is not the path. It is called upakilesa, something that defiles insight meditation. You are not well informed on vipassana. In fact, your teacher is a mere worldling." Their explanation was based on scriptures, but it was not acceptable to the other monks, who resented any adverse reflection on their teacher and argued the case for his spiritual attainments. Thus, some people credit a person with arahatship when he is in fact not an arahat. The commentary states that these people cannot attain the path and fruition, or even the deva world, so long as they do not renounce their. The Tika explains the commentary statement as follows. To cling firmly to a wrong view that makes one upgrade the blameworthy worldling to the status of an Arya, the noble one. Talk about it, the wrong view, to extol it or to argue for it is an obstacle to the attainment of the deva world or the path. We should bear in mind then that it is a grave mistake to glorify one's teacher and argue about him when he is just an ordinary person. Iron pot roasting arahat. The commentary goes on with another monk's account of arahatship. The monk said that his disciples should imagine kindling a fire and putting an iron pot over it. Then the disciple should imagine his physical body to be put into the pot and roasted. When the body is reduced to ashes, they must be blown away with the mouth. Then the disciple becomes a monk who has been purged of all evils. The teacher who preached thus was also honored as an arahat, and after cremation his bones were enshrined in a stupa. His disciples also argued with the visiting monks about him. Earthen pot arahat. Still another monk said that his disciples should imagine a large earthen pot placed on fire, the pot that is supposed to contain the 32 parts of the body. The contents of the pot are then to be stirred up and dissolved, and the froth that comes up is to be consumed mentally. This is, the monk said, imbibing the nectar of the Dhamma. This view is in fact the misinterpretation of the Buddha's teaching that those who devote themselves to contemplation of the body enjoy Nibbana. The teacher who preached thus was also honored as an arahat, and a stupa enshrining his bones, built as a memorial. He too was the subject of controversy between his disciples and other monks. These are instances of wrong liberation in ancient times. Cases of this kind are likely to be on the increase nowadays. At one time, some preached that a knowledge of the Four Noble Truths meant Buddhahood, and so there arose some of their followers who impudently called themselves Buddhas. But if we are to expose cases of wrong liberation in detail, it would mean indirect attack on some people, and so we will leave it at that. Right liberation, samavimutti. Right liberation is liberation that presupposes the 8 stages of purification. The 12 kinds of insight knowledge, the 4 Aryan noble paths, and the 4 Aryan fruitions. Before the yogi practices insight meditation, he must be morally pure. Then he must have upachara samadhi or apana samadhi that will ensure his mental purity. While watching, the yogi should know the distinction between the corporeality that is being watched and the watching consciousness. Then he must know the cause and effect and reflect independently on anicca, dukkha and anatta, impermanent suffering and insubstantiality of existence. Then he must have udayabhaya knowledge, or insight into the arising afresh and instant vanishing of the corporeality and consciousness that he watches. He will have unusual experiences, such as seeing the light, feeling joyful, faith, etc. He must watch and transcend them. Then there will arise bhanga and bhaya insights that see the object of attention and the attention consciousness, attending consciousness, vanishing together. Then he must clearly have sankharupeka jnana, or insight that is concerned with equanimity, and bear awareness without effort. This should be followed by anuloma jnana, adaption knowledge that occurs very quickly, and Aryan insight that brings the yogi into contact with Nibbana and finally leads to liberation. Such is right liberation. According to the commentary, all the aggregates of mental elements and consciousness relating to fruition with those of the Eightfold Path accepted is in effect right liberation. Other Pali texts define liberation as the sum total of fruition consciousness and mental elements. In accordance with their explanations, we may as well understand right belief, etc., in terms of knowledge, etc. At the moment of attaining the path and the right liberation in terms of right belief, at the moment of the attaining of the fruition of the path. We will now go on with three hindrances, nivarana, namely sloth and torpor, tinamida, restlessness, udacha, and doubt, vichikicca. We have dealt with the other two hindrances, sensuous desire and ill will, in our talk on the 10 unwholesome propensities. Tinamida. The Pali books describe tina as the torpor of the mind, and mida as the torpor of mental factors, chetasika. But chetasika is not a common word in Burmese language, and so we will translate tinamida as mental torpor, since chetasikas are always bound up with citta. The torpor of citta means torpor of chetasikas. Mental torpor means a decline in energy and laziness. For the yogi who is engaged in meditation, low energy and a dull, sluggish mind are obstacles to the development of concentration. Hence, tinamida is described as a nivarana, a hindrance. The yogi must first free himself from hindrances and make himself pure. He should overcome the hindrances by means of jhana samadhi or upachara samadhi, neighborhood concentration. The Satipatthana Sutta contains two parts, the first dealing with samatha, tranquility, and the second with vipassana, insight. Practice of in and out breathing and reflection on impurity, as described in the first part, leads to attainment of jhana samadhi. The section on in and out breathing says, the yogi breathes in asat sati, attentively. He breathes out pasa sati, attentively. Asasa is translated as exhaled air and pasasa as inhaled air in secular treaties. But in the Pali books of Patisambhida Magga, which sets forth the course of training in holy life, asasa and pasasa are described as inhaled air and exhaled air, respectively. This interpretation is more reasonable in practice. For if you fix your mind on the nostril in the practice of breathing, the inhaled air is first apparent. It also fits in with the Pali term anapana. Ana means inhaled air, pana means exhaled air. So I have translated pasasati as breathe out. In breathing in and out, the yogi should do so mindfully, according to the commentary. If contact with the in and out air is apparent at the nostril or the upper lip, the yogi should watch the point of contact. He must ignore the air that is breathed into the body or the air that is breathed out. He must watch in and out. The commentary suggests that the beginner should practice by counting 1, 2, 3, etc. But what matters most is the development of concentration through the practice. So it will do as well if the yogi just watches always mindfully in and out, whenever he breathes. Through such practice, he will be free from sensuous desire and other hindrances and attain upachara samadhi, neighborhood concentration, and the four jhana of apana, attainment samadhi. This is the way to cultivate mental purity according to the section on anapana in the Satipatthana Suttas. Then, as regards reflection on impurity, the yogi should reflect on the 32 parts of the body, such as hair, bones, heart, liver, lung, intestines, urine, saliva, etc. This reflection will free him from hindrances and ensure upachara samadhi and the first jhana. This is the way to achieve purity of mind through reflection on impurities.